Your reasons for listening to this show, well, those are your own. But just keep in mind that the views, information, or opinions expressed on the Tuttle Daily Podcast are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of our sponsors. Yeah, it's called free speech, people.
Nobody's forcing you to listen.
Get ready for your daily dose of Tuttle.
The all-time greatest intern slash producer we've ever had, of course, Tuttle. In Florida.
From the Hobo Fish Camp, it's the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
No wonder nobody likes you, Tuttle. Everything's a goddamn debate.
All right, guys, greetings and welcome to another edition of the Tuttle Daily Podcast. I do apologize. Being gone the last two nights, I have not been sleeping. I've been at the hospital. My mom is finally back. There's a lot of stuff that still needs to be taken care of. So, I wanted to do a show tonight. I wanted to do a show Thursday and Wednesday night, but just was not able to. And I do apologize, guys, because I do like doing this show. Like, I'm happy where I'm at in life when it comes to work and everything. Doing this podcast, I'm so happy doing it. Oh, David Rivera. Yeah, David, I was going to get to it right away there. Sorry, I feel like I got a burp. David Rivera says, hope your mom is okay. And on top of that, David Rivera super chatted $20 on YouTube. Don't forget, you guys can always help out the cause. You can subscribe to me on Twitch. You can cheer bits on Twitch. You can super chat on YouTube. Oh, I knew I had to burp. See, people are going to call me right now. It's been nonstop for me, people. Calls from nurses, calls from home health care, calls from the emergency room, the hospital. You're just going to have to wait. I need an hour to be able to do what I like doing, and that's talking to you guys, and I would love to talk to you. I always beg. I don't know, if people are just afraid to call in and talk to me, they think that I'm going to be a dick or whatever, you guys can give me a call, 407-270-3044. Once again, 407-270-3044. And you can also text that number as well, too. I read a lot of people's messages in the chat room. Got a great guest. Haven't had a guest in a while. And I'm really interested, and I'm excited about this one. I got Larry Margulies. I know I'm going to butcher the last name. But Larry, this is in his bio. I am to take down the group that orchestrated my murder, my baby's murder, and at least one other. Participate, learn, save lives, and bring justice. I was raised as an only child by a world-famous forensic psychiatrist, most notable for his role in John Gotti and O.J. Simpson defense team, who led a double life. I also talk about family, maintaining good mental and physical health, and obstacles I face while making the real-time true crime docu-series. So I'm pretty excited about that. David, I can't wait for the Tuttle and Colton podcast. Bubba mentioned it this morning. So he did mention it. So if he talked about it, then that means that I can talk about it, right? I mean, I told you guys briefly about it on Monday. So, yeah, myself and Colton, and it's only going to be like once a month. It's going to be a great-ass show. Because I'm telling you right now, you give me a month to prepare for a two-hour show, that's going to be the best 2 hours of radio that you're ever going to hear. Because me and Colton, we are going to bring it. To have that opportunity, come over to Tampa, hang out with one of my best friends, do the show on a Friday, spend the weekend with him. I'm telling you right now, it's going to be one of the best specialty shows that you're going to hear on Bubba Army Radio. It's going to be great. And me and Colton already have a bunch of ideas. Franklin the mailman says, "Hey, bud, I see you're working. Aren't you working for like UPS or Amazon or something like that now? FedEx? Because I know you were working for the U.S. Mail Service, and it seems like you kind of moved up a little bit." P Bay 44, just started listening to Bubba again, and thus you too. By the way, what is Colton doing now? Colton is working for a construction company. Like, he's a go-getter. He gets all the materials and stuff. He's the guy that goes to, because they mostly go to Home Depot, but whenever a crew or a job site needs materials and stuff or tools, he goes to Home Depot and gets all that stuff done. What up, Scott Cochran? Cousin Scott showing up. Fins up. I'm so excited for the Miami Dolphins season. Our new coach, I absolutely love our new coach. This guy, he brings a little bit of swagger, even though he's a little bit of a nerd. I've had so many people tell me, like, when I got the haircut a certain way, when it's not all shaggy, people are just like, "Oh yeah, you look like the Dolphins head coach." The guy listens to rap music as a nerd too, so like, I kind of dig him. And you know, everybody wants to, you know, shit on Tua. I think he's going to surprise a lot of people. You know, you got one of the fastest wide receiver crews out there. You got by far the best secondary in the NFL right now. So I expect big things from the Miami Dolphins this year. So one of the big things that's about to happen here in Central Florida, Artemis One. And I know a lot of you guys don't probably think that space program is a waste of money and all that stuff. Man, Michelle Imperato, I got to tell you. Michelle Imperato, I know I probably screw up her last name, but Jesus Christ. Look at the, I mean, she's got a cartoonish. And I don't mean that in a bad way, but look at the curves. She's like, bam, small, bam. Twisted Movies says Artemis is amazing. It is. But come on, Michelle Imperato, holy crap, man. She should never, ever be behind a news desk. They should have her out front so you can see the full figure the whole time.
To 500,000 people are expected to descend on the Space Coast to watch Monday's launch.
And if you plan to be one of them, West Jew's Kelsey Thord reports,
she's the one on the left,
prepared for some major gridlock.
Yeah.
Places like Jetty Park here are expected to be packed with visitors for the Artemis One.
Kelsey Thord, she's getting a lot of camera time. She's going to be one of the big ones at WESH. But this is such a big thing, people. Artemis One. I don't know if a lot of you guys realize why they called it Artemis. If you guys remember the last time we went to the moon, the Apollo program that we had in Greek mythology. Man, it's raining like a mother effer out there right now. Artemis in Greek mythology is the brother of Apollo. I know that it's real nerdy that I know that, but yes, Artemis is the brother of Apollo. Apollo was the first space program that we had that went to the moon, and then Artemis is the next rocket, and this is going to be the biggest rocket that's ever been launched from Cape Canaveral. Kind of wish that it was going to be at night because it would be bad. It's going to be brighter and bigger than the space shuttle. But this is a big deal, man. I know a lot of people are just like, oh, all this money could be spent elsewhere. Nah, you know how much money we waste as a government, the United States? I'd rather it go to something like this.
Launch on Monday. Local officials say that there could be upwards of 100,000 people here in the county, and they're telling locals they need to be prepared for a lot of traffic.
And guys, Brevard County, you guys all think this is a waste of money, but think of all the money that is being brought into Brevard County alone for this one launch. They're talking that there could even be close to 500,000 people in Brevard County at one time. They're all going to go there. They're going to stop at gas stations. They're going to stop at restaurants. They're going to buy all types of stuff. So it's bringing a lot of money into Brevard County. And as well as the space shuttle program. Space shuttle program used to bring tons of money into the area when the tourists wanted to do that. And the traffic, yes, it's going to be gridlock. 528 bumper to bumper. Highway 50 going out there from Orlando, bumper to bumper. 95 heading south and north, depending on where you're coming from in Florida. It's going to be a nightmare, but, oh, and don't forget, also this weekend, I also think the reason why there's also going to be so many people, you got the Coke Zero 400, you got the NASCAR race in Daytona, and you know a lot of those people, they are going to stick around. Hey, baby, well, let's see who makes the playoffs for NASCAR. But while we're here, QQ, we're gonna stick around and see them launch that Artemis rocket off. It's like a big old firecracker they're launching up into the air. You know that's gonna happen. It's gonna be busy in Brevard County.
Be patient. Watch for pedestrians because there's gonna be a lot of people out crossing the streets.
Prepare for a long commute. That is what Brevard County officials are telling locals, regardless of if they're planning to watch the.
Man, that's a big-ass rocket. Big, big, thick, and long-ass rocket. On the world-famous Launch Pad 39B. And nobody's going up in this one. It's not, like I said, what up, Iggy T? Iggy T says hello. Sorry, I've been MIA, Iggy. But yeah, this is going to be a big deal. I mean, this is a big fucking rocket. It's going to be loud. It's going to rock a lot of windows. And I think I'm going to be in my therapy session. By the way, I'm going to see a psychiatrist now. I'm seeing her for the first time on Monday. And I'm going to miss this. I'm going to ask her. Because I'm going to follow the updates. Hey, you know, this might be good for my mental health, but I'm going to go see this big-ass rocket. This big, long, and thick rocket blast off into space. And this thing is going to the moon, even though it's not, it does not have any people on it. This one's going to the moon. They're testing it all out. And I think it's going to be great. The space program does bring a lot of tourists into the town. And we're all, I mean, let's be honest, we're in another space race. This time we're not going up against the Russians. We're going up against the Chinamen. China, not the Chinamen, not the Chinese men. We're going up against China right now. We can't lose this one either. I mean, that would be a big kick in the balls. We let China get back to the moon, and then they set up a base before we do, and then we got a war up on the moon base and stuff. Of course you want to be the first one in. You don't want to get sloppy seconds, even though we've been there first.
The launch, or just trying to get to school or work.
We've heard as many as 500,000 from the Cape, so, you know.
Oh, and the kids, the high school kids in elementary school and high school, they got to be loving this, because guess what? Monday, if you want to miss school, it's an excused absence. It is. It's an excused absence. It's almost, it's a rocket day. Now they have snow days up in the north. This is a space program rocket day that you get to take off. And I got to tell you, I think my parents, if I was still in school, they would have let me get off. They would, yeah, let's go watch it. Because I told you guys all the story. I remember one of the biggest news stories, first news story I remember as a kid was in kindergarten. And we went out to watch the Challenger launch. And we saw that thing blow up right in front of our eyes. And teachers all had to explain to us what happened. I think the reason why we all went out there is because they had that teacher, Christy McCullough, that was going up on the space shuttle at that time. She was supposed to do a bunch of lesson plans and stuff for the education program. Because they were trying to promote the space shuttle program. They were like, hey, let's send a teacher up into space. And we can get her to give a lesson plan to the kids. Little did they know they were going to traumatize us all. Yeah, no, Twisted Movies, yeah. Yep, I was there. You were in person for Challenger. Wicked amazing piece of history. Yeah, it was. Like I said, it was the first news story, big news story that I remember growing up that I remember vividly. To see that, because that was a big deal at the time. So we went out, saw that. They had to explain to us, yeah, the teacher died, everybody died. You know, I watched that documentary on Challenger. Ooh, that was so good. If you guys get a chance, it's on Netflix. I think it's just called Challenger. Man, there were a lot of mistakes that went on that day. And you would be pissed. You're going to be pissed when you watch that documentary because, man, oh, man, it was just a bunch of government bureaucracy that they wanted to push that launch. And it was the coldest day that we had in Central Florida. Like, we don't get a lot of really, really cold days, but I swear to God, it was in the 20s. The morning of that launch, and they were told, do not launch it, don't launch it, do not launch it. But they were, nope, we got to get it done. It's been sitting on the launch pad for way too long. We need to light this Roman candle. And they did, and it was a big-ass firework. It was a KISS concert. Nelly Mandingo checking in, says, meow.
You're talking about almost doubling the size of Brevard County just on a Monday morning.
The massive crowds could impact everything from school bus routes to trash pickup. Officials say they'll do everything they can to get any delays out to residents as quickly as...
I mean, so what if your trash isn't picked up at the regular time? It'll get done.
Possible.
Hopefully we can steer people away from trouble areas. When we know a park is full, we'll tell them a park is full and hopefully they can go to a different area.
Many locals say they're just planning to avoid the area.
You know what really, really sucks? And they might be a little bit more lenient. Like when they got like human lives on something, they won't launch. But one of the worst things is when I was living out in Orlando and then I would drive over with my ex-wife to go watch the launches. She was a big space nerd as well, too. You'd drive over there, wait. And then get canceled. And you have to drive home. You didn't get to see dog shit. That's the worst thing about it, man. Because if you do drive out, you are taking a chance that you're driving out there for nothing.
Yeah, altogether.
Don't want to be a big part of the mess up here. I know it's coming.
I'm not going anywhere. Not until it's over with.
Now, officials say it could take upwards of 2 to 3 hours after the launch for all the traffic to clear out. That means that people in Brevard County should expect some backup.
Ginge.
Into the afternoon.
Ginger.
In Brevard County, I'm Kelsey Thorid, WESH 2 News.
What up, Kelsey? So got that going on. And I got my guest coming up here in about 10 minutes. So I do want to get into my next story. This is a crazy story. Claire Metz was covering this. Hold on. Wait, hold on. Let me see. Let me see what this bird. Tuttle, hate to bring up a bad subject, but think ever be a chance you get regular, maybe not personal spot, but as a sideshow on the Bubba Network again? Yeah, I mean, I talked about this, that myself and Colton, we're going to be doing a once-a-month show. I can't be on the terrestrial show because, you know, people on some of the affiliates that Bubba's on kind of hate me. So can't do that. Look, I'm happy doing what I'm doing. I'm making the best money I ever made in my life until recently. You know, I've had a tough week or 2 weeks, but I'm doing pretty well right now. I'm happy just doing the podcast and stuff. But I'm grateful. I'm grateful that Bubba is allowing me to do something once a month on his network to be able to promote the podcast and stuff I'm doing. This is a crazy ass story. This guy needs to be locked up immediately. This guy had already been on probation. Guy had already been on probation for trying to buy a kid. I don't know if that's it. No, I don't know if that's the one that I want to use. That one, let me see. No, that one. No, that one. I mean, that's a pretty good one. Do you guys like that one? At least it shows me a little bit more. So this guy that was already on probation, he already tried to buy a kid once. He was on probation, and then this week he tried to buy another kid. He offered to buy another kid in a Winn-Dixie parking lot. This guy needs to be put away for good, even though he's the old dude and everything. Kind of feel bad for him, but I really don't, because I think these sickos and stuff, matter of fact, I don't even know if we should put him in prison. Well, put him in prison. Let the hierarchy in prison handle it themselves.
Offender on probation for trying to buy a child for $200,000 in 2018 is now back behind.
I mean, $200,000. A lot of money.
Behind bars, accused of trying to buy another child. 85-year-old Helmuth Kolb of Port Orange.
Yeah, come on. Well, number one, look at the guy. Number two, Helmuth Kolb. I mean, that just sounds like the name of somebody that's a pedophile. And I do agree with you, Steve Gore. Steve Gore, you're right. Thank you, my friend. It does help me out. So whatever platform you're listening on, if you could give me a liking, give me a thumbs up or whatever it may be, it does help me show up into the searches better. Subscribe and thumbs up on whatever platform you are watching on. But yeah, this guy has already tried to buy two kids. First one, he tried to buy for $200,000. And then this one, I think he offered $100,000 for.
Orange was arrested Thursday after the incident at a local Winn-Dixie store. West's Claire Metz spoke with the mother of the child who was most recently approached.
He just came up and started making comments about how pretty she was and how good her dancing was and how he could never have children and he wanted children.
I like her glasses, but man. I just, the nerve of some people. And don't think that women don't have their concealed carry permits. Women can be just as brutal when a mama bear is, protecting her cub. That's a straight shoot. That's a straight shoot. You're coming up and you're basically saying my daughter, she's cute. Loves the way she dances, and you're going to offer $100,000? Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't put her in jail. If I was on a jury, there's no way that I would put this bitch in jail.
Lauren Benning says she thought 85-year-old Helmuth Kolb This is a picture of him, was just a lonely old man when he first eyed her and her playful 8-year-old daughter inside this Port Orange Winn-Dixie.
I know exactly what Winn-Dixie that is.
Last week, mother and daughter went on their way and happened to be leaving the store through one exit as Helmuth Kolb was coming out another.
Approached me in the parking lot, actually chased me down in the parking lot and said, hey, I want to make a deal with you.
It's like you're trying to buy somebody's used car or boat. Like, this woman didn't advertise her kid on the need gone section on Craigslist or anything. You have a sickness. You have a major problem. If you can just walk up randomly to a mother in a Winn-Dixie parking lot and offer $100,000. Do I think that guy even had $100,000? No. No way. And can you buy a kid on credit? Like, I know this is a bad joke, but like, can you get a kid financed? Like, yeah, I mean, hey, I want to take out a loan. I want to buy a 6-year-old. Wait, my credit's not good enough? Okay. Well, what do I need to do here? But, I mean, this guy definitely needs to be put away because he's already tried to do it once before.
I'd like to buy her for $100,000. I was in complete shock.
Good afternoon, Mr.
What if you really hate your kid, though? What if your kid's a little bastard? You know he's going to be a fuck-up the rest of his life or whatever. No, I'm just being honest. Like, you're like, but, I mean, you could threaten your kid. Hey, if you do not start acting right, I'm going to sell your little ass off to Helmuth. Helmuth, what kind of name is that? But Helmuth, he's already tried to do this twice. He must not have good credit. And I just don't see this guy having that liquidated type of cash.
Kolb was arrested for violating his probation, and a judge at first appearance ordered him held without bond. Kolb had been serving 5 years probation for grabbing another child in a local Walmart in 2018, kissing her wrist, offering to buy her for $200,000.
I mean, all right, so as a parent, is that an insult? Like, what the fuck? You offer the previous one $200,000. You know, only offer my kid $100,000. What the hell's going on here, Helmuth? I'm pretty offended here, even though I wouldn't sell your kid, but you know, you're offering me half the price of the first person that you did. What's going on here? What a fucking sicko. And I know a lot of people are probably, oh, Tully, you shouldn't be making jokes and stuff like that. It's a comedy show, people. I don't really, really mean it. I think this guy should be, I don't even know what I can say. I don't want to get, like, banned because they're banning people left and right now on all types of platforms. So, in my true opinion, I don't think this guy, here, I'll say this in a way that it can't get, like, I'm saying, physical harm against this guy, but this guy does not deserve a place in society. He just doesn't. And you know, like, if he is so brazen, and if you guys, oh, here we go. I think I got my guest, Larry's come. Larry.
Hi, thank you.
Hey, man, how are you?
By the way, good, I'm fine, thank you. Can you hear my microphone okay?
Yeah, I can. You sound great, man. Hey, I'm talking about this story right now. This guy already on probation for offering to buy a kid mm-hmm. for $200,000 about 5 years ago. This week he got caught trying to buy another kid for $100,000. Like, this is crazy stuff, right, Larry?
Look, I was listening to the news today about the smuggler on the Mexican border.
Yeah, what smuggler? What was the smuggler?
Fox News was talking part two today.
Yeah.
About interviewing a smuggler on the Mexican border.
Now, is he
and
like...
He had to come forward because they were...
Now, is he is he a smuggler for pedophiles or something, or just a smuggler trying to get people into the United States?
Well, that's the thing. He said that the Mexican cartels are doing scouts for children along the border before they cross.
Oh, yeah.
Pick out the ones that are for organ harvesting. Everybody was really, really sad about it.
I got to get into that, but let me finish this story real quick for my audience.
His intent is to buy children. That's not okay.
Police say when they questioned Kolb about offering to buy Lauren Benning's daughter, Kolb laughed, then said, "We all like kids."
I mean, we all like kids, but I mean, you don't offer to buy other people's kids. Like I said, I mean, how brazen do you got to be to just walk up to a random person? And Winn-Dixie, here in Florida, Winn-Dixie is the last place you want to go to and try to buy a kid because, I'm sorry that, you know, I'm not trying to label people, but the people that are going to have concealed carry permits are most likely going to be shopping at Winn-Dixie instead of like a Publix here in Central Florida.
Kolb was registered as a sex offender after the 2018 incident, and terms of his probation include no contact with minor children other than family and must be accompanied in malls and big stores like Winn-Dixie. Kolb was alone when he approached Ms. Benning and her daughter. Ms. Benning says she doesn't know what's wrong with suspect Kolb, but says there's no
question. He's a sicko. That's what he is.
Question. Something is.
He needs to be locked up and not allowed to be around our children.
Mom says her daughter.
Man, I can't believe they got Claire out in the pouring rain like it has
okay,
been raining.
But she was really shaken up by that bizarre encounter. She told her mother she doesn't want to come grocery shopping with her anymore.
Oh, can't get away.
In Port Orange, Volusia County, Claire Metz, West 2 News.
Hey, thank you, Claire. All right, so I'm gonna bring my guests on now, Larry. I always screw up everybody's names. I try to look them up, but is it Margolis? Did I get it that bad?
That's a
bad?
Good question. I get asked that a lot by whenever I call the bank or something. Margulies.
Like Juliana, yes, like Julianne Margulies, like the famous actor.
There's one Hollywood actress named Margulies. There's not too many Margulies.
Yeah. Italian?
Same look, though.
Is it Italian?
I think it's half Romanian.
Oh, okay.
And half Polish.
Hey, so Larry, how are you, man? I really appreciate you calling into the show on a Friday night.
Yeah, you know, let me tell you something. I mean, I've been looking forward to your podcast. I couldn't get any rest, but I'm all ready. You know,
for real. Like, I mean, come on. I mean, I've been doing radio broadcasting for the past 20 years. So, what are you drinking tonight? Slamming the coffees.
Really?
Coffees.
I picked up some Blue Mountain. Blue Mountain coffee.
Oh yeah.
And, myself, got a presser.
So Larry, before I get into interviews, I could talk about you and promote you and set the table, but I like to let my guests have the floor before we get into the interview to talk a little bit about themselves, what they're wanting to promote, and a little bit about themselves.
Well, you know, I don't know how to promote myself. I'm actually trying my best to bring attention to something very serious that happened.
Okay.
And I think that in some way, I mean, everyone has their stories about life and things, tragedies that has happened to them.
Mm-hmm.
But in my situation, I think it does touch on some things that might be a concern to everybody. I was under a lost passport investigation. I made several complaints to the State Department that some of these Americans who I did not know, who were clearly soldiers and identified themselves as having come out of the military, having security clearances. One of them brought policemen with him. One of them had a police ID, and these were in other countries. And when I talked about it at first, people said, "Oh, that's lunatic. Everybody says delusional. You're talking about CIA or somebody coming up to your house and this and that." Well, I spoke to some Philippine lawyers, and there's only one conclusion that the Philippine lawyers have, according to their law. Mm-hmm. You have an American come up to your house, and they bring policemen with them. where another American comes up to you and they have a police ID on them. There's only one conclusion that the Philippine lawyers have, and that it's a national security interest. And when I went to the NBI headquarters, which is the equivalent of FBI in the Philippines.
So
they themselves hinted that there was a letter from the State Department asking for their support.
What is NBI?
National Bureau of Investigation.
Okay. All right. I just want to make sure that the audience has fallen and stuff. So you're in the Philippines at this time, correct?
Yes, sir.
All right. So but
the first time they came up to me was in Hong Kong. That was the first time.
Yeah. All right. So go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you. I just want to make sure my audience was following.
Well, I don't want to drag on too long, but that just gives you an introduction into you asked me what I'm trying to promote. So anyways, these guys tried to kill me and my baby
got killed
in the middle of it.
Do you know why?
They didn't say much except a few things. And they said it pretty much half the time that they sat down with me and they came to my places of residence or whatever. They called me a manipulator. They called me a criminal. And
why would they think that, though? Like, I mean, were you framed or why would they think that? In your opinion.
Well, it's good thing you asked that because it started in 2010 when the passport investigation began. And also when I was given a house worth $1 million. And apparently there was a lot of money being moved around by my family.
Mm-hmm.
Millions of dollars. And during that happening, it appeared to be that, the only people in the whole world that ever were saying those kinds of things before these guys showed up, and actually when they showed up, were some family members calling me the same names. And I found out later, not until this past couple of years, is that, or actually I didn't even notice, I didn't even think about it, but in the Philippines, I was directed by a family member that they had a contact in the State Department who was a liaison that they told me to get in touch with through the State Department at that time when those people showed up.
All right, so
that liaison,
mm-hmm,
would be a key person to find out what the hell they did.
Did you have any I don't know how to word this, but like any feuding going on with other family members? Did any other family members have an axe to grind with you? Was there any type of inheritance?
Yes, sir.
Or was there some type of money that was owed and maybe you got some of it?
My mother apparently became so hateful of me out of the blue.
Your biological mother or stepmother?
Yes, sir. She suddenly, as soon as the first attack and then in Hong Kong, and then I went to Seattle to get do a passport run, to get a new passport in Seattle. I had used their $1 million to buy a house in Canada, so I crossed the border real quick to get one.
Okay, whoa.
And she was like, she's not my mother anymore.
Okay, so... Can we back up a little bit? Like I'm being unbiased here, but I'm just going to ask a lot of questions and stuff, and hopefully you don't get offended and act like I'm taking a side or whatever. But seems like you're doing a lot of traveling. Seems like you're passporting this, passporting that. You're buying a house in Canada. Can I ask where were you born? Were you born in the United States? Like, are you in soil born United States American?
I like that question. I'll tell you why, because I'm a proud American.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very proud to be from Boston, and I'm very proud to know enough about my history to pass a school test.
Mm-hmm.
And to have this happen to me, for one thing, to ever be accused of going against my government or being engaged in anything criminal with my passport. It's just not like me. And so I'm from Boston. I'm from Brookline. I grew up right next door to the Brookline Country Club. Very quiet neighborhood.
Mm.
Used to just ride my bike as a kid, mile up the street to get some candy and come back, watch some movies,
play with
my pets in the yard. So that was my life. That's where I was raised.
So you've been kind of jet setting around. You've had all this. You've had some passport problems. You've gone to Canada. You buy a million-dollar home in Canada and stuff. And you're saying you were accused of that by your biological mother and stuff. So, like, why would they?
Let me tell you what. Let me clarify.
Okay.
Just because I think you might, because it is very long history of traveling and complex. During the lost passport investigation, when I was notified, which was actually against their policy, you're not supposed to tell somebody, but the guy at the window at the Boston Passport Agency was kind enough to tell me that it was going to happen, but it already happened. I was already attacked in Hong Kong. A couple of mercenaries come up to me, telling me they're going to kill me. I was hit with a bottle. I got stitches in my head. Had to hire a bodyguard in Hong Kong. Then I went to Seattle not too soon later to get a passport because they only gave me an emergency passport. I need to get a passport quickly. Explains why I had to get a passport. And then in Seattle, another bottle and a bunch of mercenaries following me. I met a couple of them and they sat down with me three different times. So anyways, my family member, my mother and my father, who were very angry at me, accusing me of manipulating them to basically lie to them that I wanted a house in Canada to take their money and run with it, which is all baloney.
Can I ask you a question?
They came up with other stuff too.
Why were you in all these places?
Okay. Let me explain that to you in a nutshell. I always wanted to make a movie as a child. My brother went to movie school. He quit following my inner dream of doing movies, but I kind of combined it with my English. I was an English teacher since 2003. So I incorporated a company in Boston before the house called Movie English.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very excited about it. I gave the brochure I made to my parents, said, this is what I want to do. I had actually been on a trip to Taiwan with $50,000 of my father's when all this began, just before this all began. And
why was it $50,000 of your father's?
China.
Why was it $50,000 of your
father's?
And
it wasn't much to open up an English school. That's why I wasn't able to do it the first time.
Mm-hmm.
So when I went to Hong Kong, the lawyers told me I needed a minimum of a couple hundred thousand because that's what you need, like, to get a visa investment in Hong Kong. And also for the benefit of opening up in mainland, where I wanted to open up the real schools in mainland China or Taiwan. Taiwan didn't work out. I decided on China. So to explain to you why I jumped around a lot, I was looking for an English school and I had just bought in a house and I was renting it to other people. It's an income property. So it had like four apartments.
Hmm. So, all right. So it seems like you're jumping around from job to job here. Like, so you had this, you had that. The story kind of reminds me of the movie that Leonardo DiCaprio and Tom Hanks did called Catch Me If You Can. It seems like you're just like jumping around from place to place.
hold your horses, though. Look, it wasn't my idea to buy the house. I would have stayed teaching.
Mm-hmm.
I would have been in the same place. Okay.
Yeah.
And when I wanted to open the English school. Sure, I let them know, hey, I want to open an English school. My father was like, here, I'll give you $50,000, go look for a location. And that's what I did.
Mm-hmm. What'd your dad do?
That's it is what it is.
What'd your dad do?
What's that, sir?
Boy, what'd your dad do? They can just throw 50 grand at you.
And that's good that he died because some of this mess is a little bit easier for me.
Well, what do you mean? What do you mean by like it's good that he died?
Well, it was his liaison to the State Department. He had heavy connections with the State Department, very heavy.
Mm-hmm.
He's been involved with the pro-state of Israel and working for pro-state and a bunch of stuff since he was like in the late 1950s in college.
Yeah.
Anyways, the state liaison to the State Department was inside the State Department, talking, passing whatever information he was saying. And he was coming up with some bull.
You're breaking up on me. I can't. You're getting a bad connection right now. Like, I couldn't hear the last 15 seconds. I can't hear anything. Yeah, I don't know what's going on. I don't know if it's your connection. I don't know, like, if you want to reconnect or whatever. And PBay 44, like, seriously, I find this interview interesting. So, like, if you got a problem with it, I'm sorry, but I'm going to do it. You're, like, the only one that's saying any shit about it. So, I apologize.
You can hear me now, right?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
You can hear me now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, my mute button was pressed. Can you hear me okay without this big microphone?
Yeah, I can hear you fine. It's
okay,
good.
Okay, so let's continue.
All right, any siblings? You got any siblings?
Yes, sir. I have 3 siblings.
All right, so do you have a relationship with them, or how are things with them?
No, sir. I've never had a relationship with them.
Why is that?
Well, as growing up with them, my father kept us in separate rooms. We weren't really, we weren't supposed to go outside of our rooms except to just go to the refrigerator.
Oh, whoa. All right, come on. Now, like, I gotta jump in here. That's kind of fucking weird if you lived in the same house, but you were in your rooms and stuff. It seems like there's some type
on a weekday, on the weekends, we did yard work together.
Oh. Well, all right. So I hope you don't get offended or anything, but this whole thing just sounds a little weird to me that you were let out of your rooms to do yard work on the weekends, but you couldn't hang out with your siblings and stuff during the weekdays. Like, what? I mean, it almost seems like a Catholic boarding school or something.
Well, look. You're right about that, but you know, they say every family has its problems, so I'm not on your show to talk about family problems, but I'm just telling you that I never had a relationship with my siblings. I don't think we only spent one whole day as a whole family, except for dinners. You know, we if I went on a trip with my parents, they would take off and leave me in the room or give me like $10 to say, just do whatever you want, go walk around wherever we went to.
Somebody said, didn't you get to ride your bike to get candy and stuff?
Well, yeah, sure. On the weekend. You know?
Okay.
But I had to come, I went to prep school, so I had to come home every day, stay home when the bus left me off.
Mm-hmm.
When I went to public school, we had 4:00. I had to be home by 4:00.
I know. See, because I'm just trying to get into, you know, because you said that it was a good thing your dad died and stuff, you know, like you had that, but was there any...
Did I explain it well enough to you? It was because of the State Department that his liaison was getting bad information from him.
Okay,
because he was angry.
Okay,
and
but...
it caused me a lot of problems.
Oh, I'm sure that it did cause you a lot of problems and stuff, but I gotta ask, was there any type of physical abuse? Was your father abusive at all? Anybody in the family abusive at all?
Well, sure. He was a maniac. I remember even to my other siblings. I don't know if they'll admit it right now because they got millions of dollars from him. But I know, like, there was a, you know, my brother once ran out of a room saying he tried to kill him. Strangled my mother, strangled me. I was in fear most of the time. And it wasn't just my father, it was my brother, Martin. I mean, there were holes in the wall, not just holes in the wall for my father, but holes in the wall for my brother.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you asked me what he did. I guess you didn't look, but he was a famous defense lawyer.
Yeah, he did O.J. O.J., right.
He did John Gotti's defense, and also a royal princess, which gives him more power in the State Department.
So do you think that he might have been intertwined into, you know, maybe not so good people?
He was.
Yeah. Do you think that he did anything against the law?
Look, my father was old school and he was very, very smart. You know, I think I asked But anyways, but even me, I don't even ever talk about like bad people or that kind of stuff. I mean, but what happened to me, I only talk about what's related to the death of my baby, the attempts on my life. And
all right. Can we talk about that a little bit? I don't know how much you want to talk about that.
There's not much I can say. You're asking me if he was involved with any bad people.
Yeah.
Generally speaking, honest, he grew up around bad people.
Mm-hmm.
He talked about bad people. I was told he hangs around with bad people.
But did he
I
have
met a couple of his friends? His friends did some illegal activities, some of his good friends.
Mm-hmm.
But
did he have a code of ethics, though?
Most people worked for the government.
Yeah.
Or had very, very special things going on, or lots of money. Banks and government was most of his friends.
Kim, I don't know how much you feel comfortable talking about, but so, you know, you talked about the death of your child. How old was the child that you lost?
That's the thing is that you'd have to listen to, I think it was episode number 6 and 7 of my podcast.
Mm-hmm.
At mytruecrimepodcast.com. There's a bit, I could quickly try to put it in a nutshell for you if you want me to, but I can't say 100% to everybody in the world, look, my child was killed because they stole my hair of the baby.
Mm-hmm.
They stole my whole suitcase. All I'm saying is that I was there the night that the baby stopped moving. And my girlfriend was flopping around and I saw my girlfriend squeeze the baby's head against the toilet. And the baby came out with half a head. And also, not just what I'm saying,
mm-hmm.
but a group of people that asked my girlfriend to help kill me, to pay her anything she wants, they used the same words my brother Martin used. And my brother Martin himself said that my father had asked him specifically to help take care of me. And he said it in a threatening way, the same way that these people told my girlfriend. And even she reported it. And I had never told her about my conversations with Martin or reporting those people to the State Department. She did it on her own. I was out of the house.
Mm-hmm.
And they told her that they were worried that the poison in the baby would come out of the baby because the baby was so big. It was about 7.5 months that after she squeezed the head, squeezed it to death, or took the poison at the same time, which is how I saw it, they actually mentioned the word poison in the baby.
So was your girlfriend the mother of your baby?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. All right. So
just like me too.
All right. So I'm sorry for your loss and stuff. Why do you know any motive? Was it revenge?
Absolutely. Pure evil, pure hatred, pure greed. First of all, if anything happens to me, they get a lot of money because Martin, believe it or not, the one threatening me, and it wasn't just Martin, but he says he wrote or drafted the trust. I don't know if I believe him or not, but basically it says in the trust agreement, which I didn't even find out about until 2 years ago, which was 4 or 5 years later. It says that if I die, the money basically just spread to my siblings, whatever money there is in the housing or the trust. I didn't even know about the trust, and I wish I did. I wouldn't have been called a manipulator for misusing $1 million. But look, pure hatred, pure evil. You know, my brothers, they used to torture kids.
In what way?
As sick as that sounds. Oh gosh, they used to lock kids in the closet, hear them scream and laugh. That, you know, it seems infantile and you know, but there's more. I mean, Martin used to chase my friends whenever I had a friend come over with our Dalmatian. I got bit in the face by my brother's dog right here, my brother Michael's dog.
Mm-hmm.
The dog just didn't like kids young because he was a hunting dog. Martin used to just chase my friends away and they'd cry and scream and won't come back. They're just sick people. The whole family's sick. And honestly, you know, everything they say about me is kind of like projection. It really is. I'm the nicest guy. I mean, if you were to track down people that know me, people that hang out with me, and I welcome anybody in the audience to do that. They'll say nothing about the best things about me.
What area in the world?
I've made mistakes, but I'm talking about people who know me.
Yeah. What area in the world, if you feel comfortable saying, I'm not saying what city, sure. I'm not asking for address, but like, what part of the world are you living in now, and do you feel safe?
Well, hold your horses. I don't want to talk about anywhere I am right now, because when you travel to different countries, I have to show respect to the boundaries of things like that. There's certain rules.
Okay.
In terms of safety, look, I'm doing the best I can, and besides, I'm hoping that I put enough factual material inside the books. And by the way, it's so damn weird that the books, every time I publish a book or have a ghostwriter help, it gets scrambled and it's obvious. So I went ahead and started the podcast as a way to better explain myself and get the information out. Because we're looking at the world right now, what's going on with the State Department, okay? And it's just sick that I don't know how they get their information, but when I go into the State Department, they treat me like I've done something terrible. I haven't done anything. I told them a long time ago, the passport was falling apart a little bit. I had to get a job. I admitted it. I tore out a page of my visa page because I was going to a job interview the next day. I didn't think about it. I didn't want them to see the expired visa. But statute of limitations ran out. They threatened me with a year in prison for that right afterwards. They never got a hold of the passport because the Chinese didn't give it to them. And so, look, I mean, that's how they treat me, like I'm doing something with passports.
Are you wanted in any country right now?
No, I have nothing at all.
Is there a country nothing you can't go to right now because you're
free afraid? To go to every country in the whole world.
All right. I I apologize for any of these questions. I'm just
no,
very.
If you're inquisitive, I came on your show because you seem like a smart guy.
Well, I mean,
you have smart questions.
Okay.
It's my pleasure, really, my honor. I mean, help me out if you can.
How can we help you out?
I welcome anybody to talk to me about this because, as serious as it is, I think people should lend an ear, put their mind to it.
Are you allowed to go to North Korea?
It seems pretty far out.
Have you ever been to North Korea? Have you ever been to North Korea? Are you allowed in North Korea?
Come on, man.
No.
Why would you ask me that? Nobody goes to North Korea.
Well, I'm just asking you. I mean, you see, look, you act like, why would I ask that? I mean, your story, you got to admit, is a little far out there.
Well, if I didn't ask you why, that would be silly too. So what's your next question?
Well, I mean, what was the country you were the most scared to be in?
I don't remember any country that I walked into that I was thinking about scared or not, really cautious.
Yeah.
So when I told you about I mentioned the first time that these people came to me to tell me they were going to kill me and, just before the passport agency told me they were doing the investigation, was in Hong Kong. And so I left Hong Kong immediately. I never went back. So 2 years ago, 2020, right, during COVID, I went back to Hong Kong, quarantine. I had a phone from the phone number outside my building that I only asked for direction. And they said, so I took a screenshot, and it talks about this guy named David, who was in the Philippines, threatening to kill me, and coming up to me his phone several times. And then there was also that message. So I don't know how you want to explain it. I'm just saying it like it is.
How many attempts have been made upon your life?
Careful, yeah. Sure, I'm careful. As soon as I went to Hong Kong, I went right to the police station. I told them about those people even before they sent me the screenshot.
Yeah.
Before they sent me that phone message. So, and I'm making this stuff up. An idiot.
Yeah, Larry, you're
just someone who hates me.
Larry, you're kind of breaking up on me a little bit here, but I got a few last questions here. So how many attempts on your life has there been?
I haven't counted. At least several.
What's the one? What was the closest one that got you?
The one in Seattle. I took one. I would have been dead if I didn't.
Yeah. All right, Larry. Hey, so if people...
I was leaving the federal building. Mm-hmm. I was leaving the FBI building when I happened getting a bite to eat across the street.
Yeah.
Coming out after 20 minutes, that's what happened.
So do you think that the American government's tried to kill you?
I'm not going to make accusations. Obviously, these guys work for a security company of some kind. They have security clearances.
Blackwater.
I told you about the lawyers in the Philippines.
Blackwater.
Lawyers in the Philippines only have one explanation. That it had to be somebody. No, listen. I'm saying that it could be anybody, but whoever it was had permission. They had a letter of permission sent to the country where they were operated as a simple security man, or it could have been an idiot for hire working for a private detective from Boston. Doesn't matter who. The thing is that they had permission and a letter had been sent. Somebody had called from the State Department alone. And already I've uncovered at least one of, you know, liaison and another person who happens to be co-trustee of the trust account, who has heavy connections in DC also. Mm. Either one of those two people that are already proven as working for my parents or working with my parents, either as.
I think the state is trying to break up our feed here, because since we started like naming names and stuff, Larry, we've been kind of getting a bad connection and stuff. I mean, this is just, you know what? Yeah, you're breaking up on me here. You are. Anyways, guys, I agree with Nelly Mandingo. This is the rudest guest Tuttle has ever allowed on his show. All right, guys, I'm going to get out of here. Anyways, hope you guys enjoyed tonight's show. Hopefully you guys stay safe, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.